Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Burdup, news editor at Foresight Health. And today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to talk about what happens to healthcare after November 3rd. That's when we elect a new president, at least according to our Constitution. We're going to talk about what happens to healthcare over the next 4 years if President Trump is reelected, and what happens to healthcare over the next 4 years if Joe Biden is elected and replaces Trump as president. Our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to tell us what's going to happen are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Dave, Gary, you guys are both registered to vote, right?
Correct.
I just gave my write-in ballot to the Pony Express, and I'm hoping it gets there by election day.
Gary, you registered?
I'm registered, and I always vote through an absentee ballot, so I'll be doing that again this year.
All right. Before we talk about the future of health policy under President Trump or President Biden, let's talk about the election itself. Dave, I never thought I'd ever have to ask this, but these are strange times. Do you think we'll have an election on November 3rd?
Well, we'll definitely have an election. I guess the real question is how much chaos will surround it. One of the great malaprops of all time came from former Chicago Mayor Richard J. Daley during the Chicago Convention, Democratic Convention, and the riots that occurred in 1968, where he said, our job isn't to create disorder, it's to preserve disorder. when it comes to President Trump, he does seem to be in the create disorder business. When the dust settles, my guess is that all of this activity to disrupt the voting process won't work, but that will require channeling my Edmund Burke, enough good people to do something to prevent it from happening.
Gary, are we voting on November 3rd, and how long do you think it'll take to get a result?
It's a good question. I think we're definitely voting on November 3rd. And my guess is that there will be some chaos, but that this election may not be as close as people think. And so it may not really stand in the way of getting a result, if not that night, at least the next day.
Well, thanks. I definitely will be the first one in line at my polling place. Now on to today's topic. Dave, if President Trump is reelected, what's your forecast for the healthcare industry over the next 4 years? You know, what are we likely to see? And maybe more importantly, what are we unlikely to see?
Well, as Yogi Berra said, predictions are difficult, especially about the future. Early in his term, President Trump made the profound observation that healthcare is complicated. And during his 3+ years in office, he's found out exactly how true that observation is. Coming into office, Trump didn't really have a coherent healthcare plan. What he did have were two very powerful talking points, getting rid of Obamacare and lowering drug prices. On the Obamacare front, there's a lawsuit in progress to eliminate the program. No clear plan in place if the Supreme Court allows that to happen. Drug prices, they implemented a market basket approach to set what Medicare would pay for prices, and that really hasn't had much impact yet. Still a lot of jawboning on the topic. So charitably speaking, achieving those two objectives is still very, very much a work in progress. On the positive side, the Trump administration has orchestrated perhaps the best pro-market regulatory reform in healthcare since the creation of Medicare. Price transparency, consumer access to their health records, site neutrality, can't charge more for an MRI in a hospital than a clinic, full data interoperability to stimulate innovation, risk-based payment models with the goal of eliminating fee-for-service payment. I suspect in a second term, the Trump administration conduct more of this type of pro-market regulatory reform aimed at leveling the competitive playing field and reducing costs, particularly if Seema Verma becomes the next HHS secretary, as many speculate. We also might see the reemergence of high-risk pools. And I do think they would double down on regulating drug prices. Whatever happens, however, one thing will remain absolutely clear. Healthcare reform will be complicated.
Oh, I know what you're talking about there. All right. Thanks, Dave. Gary, what's Trump's healthcare agenda for the next 4 years if he's reelected?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think they've covered a framework here. Let's look at it this way. When Trump was elected, he really had no health plan. He had no strategy, and no surprise, because Republicans have never treated healthcare as a top issue. Democrats have, but not Republicans. And so it tends to be a set of individual activities, as Dave mentioned. Let's get rid of Obamacare. Let's do something about drug prices, but no overall plan for that. And if Trump is reelected, I don't see any change there. Dave makes the point. It's been a pro-market, let's deregulate healthcare. And that is a typical Republican priority. And they have done it here. In the scheme of things, I think that's good. I probably, you know, am concerned about an overall approach to healthcare. So some of these individual initiatives, without the context, you're not exactly sure how they're going to be, how they're going to work. If you look at what's happened in COVID, if we just go there, I think that's a good example. There hasn't been an overall theme of healthcare, improving health, and so on. We've ignored it. We've denigrated the experts. My guess is that government, as a percentage of revenues for health systems, for health plans, for device companies, will continue to ease up under Trump, if for no other reason that we're seeing basically 35 million people over the course of the next 20 years are going to go on Medicare. The other interesting point here, which is probably less about Trump per se, but how he has handled COVID, the leading health systems have formed relationships with governments, with local, regional, and state governments, where they are being viewed by the governments as knowledgeable and as healthcare experts in ways that the governments didn't view them before. So I think that what's happened there is that the leading health systems are going to have more influence on healthcare delivery through the fact that the governments now are aware that these health systems the health system leaders do actually understand healthcare and can be useful in how they make their determinations about healthcare.
Dave, anything to add to Gary's comment, especially about these new relationships between the private and public sectors?
That's a really intriguing point. We'll wait and see how that unfolds. It was really at the beginning of Gary's remarks mentioning that Republicans have never had an overall plan for healthcare that I'd like to spend my minute or so on. I've just thought one of the great ironies of healthcare policy is that Democrats, with Obamacare, essentially passed Republican healthcare legislation with no Republican support. So the prototype for Obamacare was Romney Care in Massachusetts, which was through bipartisan reform. And the core ideas for Obamacare, the public health exchanges, the mandates for individuals and employers, risk corridors for insurance, all really came out of conservative think tanks. And I've always thought if we could drain the emotion out of this, we could get real bipartisan reform. So there is, I believe, an overall Republican plan. It just happens to be called Obamacare, maybe with a little more emphasis on the market components of it. And wouldn't that be incredible if we could get both parties working to make Obamacare effective?
Yeah, that's a good point, Dave. You know, other than Medicare Part D, the drug plan passed under Bush, we haven't really seen the Republicans willing to step up on the legislation. I think that Dave's point about Obamacare being Republican, I think Obamacare was really Gingrich, and it was Gingrich's plan. And to the extent that that could be viewed as Republican until he got drummed out of the party. I think that's probably right. But if it's Republican Party that we're talking about, as opposed to one or two individual leaders, I don't know. I'd be careful about that one, because I just don't think the Republicans typically prioritize health care. They do prioritize deregulation. They do prioritize pro-market, as Dave mentioned, and that's been probably the most significant thing that the Trump people have done, other than just how they've handled COVID.
All right, let's switch parties now. Gary, if Biden wins and replaces Trump, what should the healthcare industry expect to see in the first 100 days and then the rest of Biden's term in office, whether that's 4 years or 8 years?
Good point. Well, I think we would expect to see Vice President Biden come out of Delaware and get into D.C., get into the White House. I think that would be one thing. But seriously, healthcare is a priority for the Democrats. If the Democrats win the Senate and you have a Democratic House and a Democratic president, I think that it's going to be hard for the Democrats not to go for another major piece of healthcare legislation. I think Vice President Biden has, by his history, has been more of an incrementalist, more of a bipartisan leader. Whether the current Democratic left will allow that to happen, I don't know. But I think that's his natural instinct. And for all the criticism of Harris, I think that's her basic instinct. So, you know, let's see how it goes. But I do think that if the Senate is Democratic, Biden's in the White House, that they're going to have a difficult time not really going for something that would be a single payer under whatever banner, whether it's Medicare for All or whatever it is. If they don't try to go for the whole thing, then I do think we'll see something along the lines of what Biden has proposed, which is moving Medicare age from 65 to 60. I think they will continue to try to make Medicaid kind of a national floor for healthcare. And through all of this, if you look at health systems, health plans, drug companies, any one of the commercial entities in this business, their percentage of revenues coming from governments will go up. And if you look right now at the health systems, the largest couple of hundred health systems, which accounts for roughly 85% of all inpatient care in the country, they average about 60% of their revenues coming from governments. By the end of this decade, that's probably going to be more like 80%. And so that brings up the specter of our major health organizations are, in essence, going to be public utilities in one way or another, meaning rates set by governments. So how that ends up specifically under 4 years of a Biden presidency isn't clear, other than it, I think government will be more and more involved in healthcare for better or for worse.
Dave, same thing. What should healthcare watch for in the first 100 days of a Biden presidency, and what should we expect through 2024 or longer?
Well, this is, as Gary mentioned, this is obviously more fun to think about if there's a Democratic sweep and they've got the House, Senate, and presidency. It's funny, I got contacted a couple of weeks ago by a group called Business Leaders for Healthcare Transformation, and they make movies to promote healthcare policy. So evidently I'm going to be in their next movie, so Academy Awards shortly to follow after that. But their name used to be Business Leaders for Medicare for All, and they've changed it, I think, to reflect Biden's stated policy objective of incrementally improving Obamacare, will push eligibility down to age 60 and do some things to improve access. So I think that's where they will go. You know, Biden never grabbed the Medicare for All mandate. Kamala Harris did, but guess who's going to be president? I think that will be where we go. Honestly, if I were Joe Biden, one of the first things I would do in office, kind of pick up on my comments from the last lightning round, is I'd invite Senator Mitt Romney over to the White House for lunch, you know, just the two of us, and say, you know, Senator, you created the prototype for Obamacare in Massachusetts. It's worked remarkably well. I mean, Massachusetts has 98% healthcare coverage of its citizens. I'd like you to become the healthcare czar for the Biden administration. And my only instructions to you will be go pass a reform legislation that two-thirds of Congress can support. Let's get away from this 51-49 way of doing major policy reform. And I just think, as I said, if we could drain the emotion out of the debate, there's a lot of commonality between what mainstream Republican policymakers want in healthcare reform and mainstream Democratic policymakers, and they could get something. There's something there, and I guess my hope also is that people recognize that we're not going to reform healthcare in incremental ways. We really have to do fundamental reform, particularly on the payment side, payment and competition sides. So we'll see. As Yogi said, predictions about the future are difficult.
Thanks, Dave. Gary, anything to add to Dave's comments?
It's an interesting discussion, isn't it? And we could go on for a long time talking about it. Be interesting to think back to when President Obama took office. Did he do similarly to what Dave is suggesting that Biden do, which is to reach across the aisle and see if they could package some kind of approach that could be bipartisan? The accounts that I'm aware of would suggest that did not happen, and it didn't happen because the opportunity to kind of get the whole apple was just too great. And I think Biden is different than Obama in the sense that Biden is more incremental of thought. I think he's been around Washington long enough to realize that you need something with bipartisan support, particularly healthcare. So I would guess that if anybody would do what Dave just suggested, it would be Biden. And if he does, and we got some bipartisan legislation, how cool would that be? Whether they could package something that would build in the deregulation aspects that the Republicans are interested with the coverage aspects that the Democrats are interested, that would be a real advancement in healthcare in this country. And it's kind of fun to think about. If you took the two extremes out of this, in the sense of the parties, you know, the far left, far right, took them out of this, you could probably pull that off. But let's make Dave Secretary of HHS, and maybe that'll happen.
Dave, would you accept the appointment?
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. That would certainly be fun to contemplate, but I think what we need to do is have Gary and me go together and whisper in each of Biden's ears and maybe see if we can make something happen.
All right. Well, I won't tip my hand. We'll talk about that later. All right. Let's talk about next week. Gary, what should our listeners be watching for next week in healthcare?
This is an old story, but how we're reacting to COVID and whether the body politic has the will to put on a mask and self-distance and so on, to me, is really the story. Schools are opening, probably going to see spikes up. There's going to have to be a lot of communication between governments, schools, health systems, and it's going to be a really challenging time, I think, over the next 2-3 months in the history of this country. So, to me, that's the thing I'm looking for.
Dave, what's your big healthcare story next week?
I think we're going to give new meaning to the phrase conventional thinking at the Democratic convention next week, done through a Zoom audience, and we'll see what happens there. Merrill Guzner from our team published a really interesting piece on the healthcare unity platform between the Biden and Bernie Sanders factions of the Democratic Party. And, you know, when you're trying to make everyone happy, you don't really do anything controversial. So it'll be an MRI in every pot, I think, as we listen to the convention. The one area that might be interesting, we've talked about this in previous episodes, is one of the first things that Biden and Kamala Harris did after Biden's announcement that she would be his VP candidate was hold a conference with healthcare experts that they broadcast out. And they made a lot of statements about investing in public health related to COVID. So healthcare force of trackers and tracers, full testing capabilities, and so on. So one thing that may be concrete that comes out of the convention, and we should look for this, is will there be a very clear mandate for governmental investment in public health? And I think, as we've all talked about, we believe that would be a good thing.
Great. We'll recap that a week from today. And I guess in a few weeks, I'll also be asking you guys to predict the outcome of the election. So start thinking about what you're going to say now, all right?
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Burda for Foresight Health.